Welcome to the For Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:30, excuse me, 11:30 a.m. and that is on June 6th. Well, today what we saw is that stock markets were really quite firm, particularly on Wall Street, where the S&P 500 is pulling away from this 2100 area. And it's reasonably broad-based, and in the copy today I've posted that ratio of the equal weight 500 S&P 500 index relative to the S&P 500 index, which illustrates that most shares are now moving higher. And of course, part of the reason for that is because the majority of shares pulled back in into a deep oversold condition in the beginning of the year. So most of them have subsequently bounced. But that equal weight index had underperformed by so much last year that it hasn't quite yet got up to test its previous peak. And a real measure of that, of its outperformance, would be that the nominal index would be pushing to new all-time highs ahead of the traditional S&P 500, which is market cap weighted. When we sort of look around, then Janet Yellen was speaking today, and she demurred from saying in the next few months when she talked about the gradual pace of interest rate hikes. And she's obviously alluding to the fact there that the jobs report was disappointing last week, but she also did highlight that earnings continue to rise. And that is something that we've talked about previously in the audios, but it's important because wage growth is one of the things that is very difficult to hedonic out of the inflation figures. So when you look at what it is the Fed are probably looking at, then they are probably still looking at raising interest rates, but they're going to be very conscious of what's happening in the overall market. And it would be very unusual if the Fed were to preempt the market. Rather, they're going to be late. They're late by definition. And then they generally have to play catch-up, and that's what pricks an investment bubble eventually. But that's perhaps getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Today was also notable in the commodities sector because oil is closing out the day here at above $50 on Brent. It's up 70 cents. And this remains an incredibly orderly advance. And this was just a brief pause for the last couple of weeks below 50, and now it's breaking upwards. And part of the reason for that is because there's this continued threat of sabotage to oil pipelines in the Niger Delta. And that hasn't been 100% got under control just yet. So that is helping to lift oil prices. And on the back of that, the Canadian dollar was stronger today by over a full cent. The Australian dollar, just a little bit stronger. But with oil prices breaking out, then it is reasonable to expect that we're going to see oil-related currencies doing a bit better in here. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, platinum had posted an upside Q reversal, although it wasn't as emphatic as it could have been, but because it didn't hold on to all of its gain on Friday. But it did follow through in here today. It was up $11. So that there's a deep short-term oversold condition there, and now we have a short-term low. So there's at least the potential that we're going to get an unwinding of the short-term oversold condition. And after that, then we'll see just how much of these gains it will be able to hold. Silver was up about 6 cents. It was stronger earlier on in the day, but also following through on that upward dynamic that we saw on Friday, and gold was relatively unchanged. Then in the soft commodities sector, Arabica coffee is on a tear. It was up an additional 4.5 cents in here today, and I'm rather kicking myself that I didn't get in when I was thinking about doing it in the middle of last week, but we can't get them all, can we? So it has now bounced fairly emphatically from the lower side of its range, and it's rapidly approaching the upper side of its range, and it may encounter some resistance there, as it has done on three previous occasions. But when you have the and this is something that we talk about at the chart seminar, it's the internal dynamics of the range, where it is rallying much faster than it pulls back, then that would generally boost the argument that this is an accumulation phase, and that this range is occurring mostly above the underlying range. So then we are potentially in a first step above the base for Arabica coffee. And it is worth perhaps, you know, while obviously looking for a more attractive entry opportunity, but considering that the medium-term outlook could potentially be really quite bullish. And of course, the generally more bullish tone overall on the soft commodity sector is in part tied to the lingering effects of El Nino and continued speculation about whether a La Nina will form. But we haven't got confirmation of that just yet. Well, generally speaking, this has been a very volatile day for the British pound because of continued speculation and then the release of surveys or polls supporting the exit camp. So the pound was down as low as $1.43.5 in early trading, closing out the day at $144.5. But then we're going to continue to get this very volatile trading, and until we get the actual vote, and that won't be for another few weeks just yet. So we're going to continue to see that this that polls ebb and flow, and perhaps it's not very worthwhile to be speculating just which way they're going to go in the 3 weeks ahead, but rather to look more at what has been priced in by the time we get 1 week ahead, and then think about what the investment ramifications are likely to be. But my view all along has been that this is much less of an issue for the UK than it is for Europe, because there is no precedent within the European, as far as I can gather, and I haven't seen anything in terms of the commentary that I've been looking for to contradict this view, that there is nothing in the contracts or in the treaties for Europe that have anything at all that mention that a country might actually wish to leave, and whether then the remaining countries would continue to be bound by the treaty, since every single parliament in Europe had to ratify it. Does it become null and void when one of the signatures then decide that they want to leave? That's an awfully large question for Europe, and it's something that really could represent an existential question in terms of the legality of the Nice Treaty in particular, which was the one that enacted the European Constitution. So, yes, there are some very large questions that need to be answered, but perhaps more for Europe than for the UK. I think the UK did perfectly well before the EU and will do perfectly well after this vote, one way or the other, despite the potential for short-term volatility. And bonds in here today were a little bit easier, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. Then when we take a step back, we look at the rest of the world. The European stock markets were pretty firm, particularly in Italy and in the UK, but the UK was certainly bolstered by the weakness of the pound. The Nikkei actually trimmed the decline that it had put in very early trading. It was only down about 0.33%, and the yen was weaker in here today. So the Nikkei is proving to be a little bit more resilient than it might have looked at the end of last week. The Hang Seng continues to put in just incrementally higher closes, but nothing in the way of a dynamic. And the mainland Chinese market was a little bit easier. Now we're only about a week to 10 days away. It's actually a week away from the decision by the MSCI on to whether they're going to allow some of the A shares and the remainder of the Chinese ADRs into the emerging markets basket. So that could be a pivotal event. Even though the decision won't come into action for perhaps a year afterwards, then it would represent a time when early movers would seek to begin to accumulate some of those positions in advance of the big funds moving in. later on. Then elsewhere, the Australian market was up by about 0.8%, and it continues to range in a higher, just incrementally or higher to lateral ranging, I think is perhaps the most accurate way of describing the market. And the banking sector, despite the fact that we're getting increasing reports of caution with regard to the banking sector, the commodities boom, that's a misnomer. The commodities bounce is certainly a positive for Australia, and that should help it to continue to range higher. But perhaps we could expect that the commodity sector will outperform the banking sector, which isn't really something that we've seen for much of the last 3 or 4 years, where the relative weightings of commodities in the index have declined substantially. Whereas I think there aren't many countries in the world where the weighting of banks in the main index is as high as in Australia, and there are obviously good reasons for that, because they pay such attractive dividends, and there's an awful lot of retail investors are invested in the banking sector. But that needn't necessarily mean that they're going to outperform, particularly when commodities continue to rally like they are doing. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. And I apologize for the early recording, but I've had to schedule a dental appointment, and the only time you could take me was just around the close of the market. So I thought better to get it done early rather than later, since I don't exactly know how long it's going to take. But I wish all the best to all of you.